What's going on, my delightful demonic deadites? On this episode, we finish up our talk with the psychic housewife of New Jersey, the lovely Miss April Bazette. We talk about demonic possession, and we talk about some new friends to the podcast. So let's exercise your finger on the volume and turn it up. You see what I did there? You see, like, exercise and... Okay, yeah, let's go.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hello, everybody. I am Ghost Joe, and welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. Before we get into part two of the April Bazette interview, I wanted to share some news with you guys. So I have just joined the Get Haunted Podcast Network. They accepted me into their family, which is amazing. They seem like an awesome bunch of people with some excellent podcasts. It's the start of new friendships of like-minded people that want to scare and entertain everybody, just like I do. So more info will be coming soon, and I'm sure more interviews as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. I am super excited about it. Now let's talk about one of my favorite topics, demonic possession. But this one's a little different than you may be thinking of. I also want to apologize about my horrible pronunciation of some of the names that I'll be mentioning. But let's get started, okay? So demonic possession has been recognized by the Catholic Church with the first guidelines for an exorcism written in 1614. They were later revised in 1999 by the Vatican. Now, of course, with our modern medical knowledge, all cases have to be evaluated by medical and psychological doctors before commencing with the rites. As you could see, if you've ever seen the show Evil, it's kind of like that, right? So now we've all heard about the famous exorcisms of Roland Doe, which was the inspiration of The Exorcist. And of course, Annalise Michel, which is inspired by the exorcism of Emily Rose. But what if I told you that there have been cases where the holiest of people have supposedly been plagued with demonic possession? So let's talk about Isabella Tomasi, later known as, here we go, guys, Sister Maria Crocifissa della she was a nun anyway, in the 17th century. Born in Sicily in 1645, she entered the convent of Palma di Montecharo. That wasn't too bad. At the age of 15. So she had quickly become a favorite where she had joined the choir and a lot of people, you know, started to really like her and stuff. Now, there's no documented time about when, but she actually started exhibiting fainting spells while at mass and prayer. And on one occasion, she let out a loud, horrifying scream at the altar and passed out. She started claiming that the devil was tempting her to serve evil. Sister Maria began experiencing visions of the devil. During one significant confession, she sought a priest's guidance, expressing her fear of being possessed by Lucifer. Suddenly, she was engulfed in a dark fit of rage. She became disrespectful, shouting at the priest in a manner completely uncharacteristic of her, as if someone else were speaking through her. On August 11th, 1676, Sister Maria oddly didn't show up to choir practice, which prompted the other nuns to search for her. They had found her sitting up on the floor of her room with sort of a disfigured face and ink all over the side of it. There were pages thrown all around the room in which appeared to be a letter. It wasn't until 2017 that researchers were finally able to decipher what the letter says. It was written in symbols and written in Arabic, Latin, Greek, and runic, which were all languages that Sister Maria had learned while in the convent. While 30% of the letter is not able to be deciphered, one line reads, "God thinks he can free mortals. This system works for no one." The letter went on to describe God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as dead weights and created by man. God does not exist. Trinity is fake. There is only me. Sister Maria died that day while still clutching the paper of the letter. She was only 31 years old. So that was way back in the 17th century. But have you ever heard of Marichika Irina Cornici? I'm sorry. She was only a 23-year-old novice nun from Romania, who some had believed to be possessed by evil. She was a resident at the Tanaku Monastery for 3 months at this time. She started exhibiting strange behavior like giggling during Mass, saying she hears the voice of Satan, and getting into arguments with other clergy in front of the congregation. She was previously diagnosed with schizophrenia and had been raised in an orphanage due to being in a broken home, and her father had unalived himself. Daniel Petri, a 29-year-old priest, had ordered and commenced with exorcism rituals with four other nuns present. Sister Cornici was tied up and gagged to a makeshift cross while this was being performed. The nun was left there for days without food and water. Eventually, they untied her and claimed she was healed, at which point she fainted. The priest called for an ambulance, at which point she was given 6 shots of adrenaline, which supposedly was what killed her. The priest, along with the nuns involved, were all charged with manslaughter. And in case you're wondering, this actually happened in 2005, only 20 years ago. I mean, it's crazy that this kind of stuff still happens. Obviously, now, was it demonic possession? I mean, she was diagnosed with schizophrenia. She had a troubled upbringing and stuff like that. So was it that, or was it a mental health issue? I guess we're never going to know. So this, I read it on Reddit, was done about 2 years ago, and it's entitled, "I Need Help. Am I Being Mimicked by a Demon?" And then it says, bear with me, this could be long, but let's check it out anyway. About 2 weeks ago, I've been getting stuck in my dreams. No matter how hard I try to wake up, it's nearly impossible. I wake up feeling drained or like I'm waking up from anesthesia after approximately 10 to 13 hours of sleep. Normally, I sleep 6 to 8 hours. I'm jealous. My dreams tend to take place from when I was younger, but in an eerie and unsettling way. Anyways, that's what my dreams have been like, no matter at night or during a nap. My older sister said that last week she was walking down the hall past my room. My door was open, and normally my door naturally shuts almost closed. And she noticed out of the peripheral, something was walking in my room at the same pace as she was. And she originally thought it was me, but she noticed it was looking at her as if it's trying to figure out how to walk properly. And she also noticed it looked like me, but when I had long hair. My hair hasn't been long since a few years. She saw it twice in one day, and she says it seemed to be trying to mock how she was walking, but she ignored it and saw me in the kitchen where she told me she had just seen the figure in my room. Now, last night, I stayed at my boyfriend's house last night and texted my younger sister, whose room is across from mine, to make sure my bedroom door was closed, shut for me. But her phone was on Do Not Disturb. She got home and started walking down the hall to get into her room. She said she was being kind of loud with her keys banging against her hydro flask, which normally would irritate me if I'm trying to sleep. She said she heard my door open, and as she was walking near her bedroom door, she heard a whisper say, "What are you doing?" And obviously, she assumed it was me being irritated that she was being so loud. And so she looked up, moving her hair out of her face. That prevented her from seeing my bedroom door in the first place. And that's when she realized my door was open, but no one was there. She hurried to the bathroom and opened her text. And that's when she saw 20 minutes prior, I had texted her to close my door because I wasn't home. She was super freaked out, and we began FaceTiming. My boyfriend was making jokes about it, and I told him to stop because I didn't want him to mock whatever it was. Soon after that, the FaceTime call ended. I told my boyfriend that her phone probably died, but right after she texted me saying, "Did your phone die?" And I told her, "No, I thought yours died." There wasn't a failed call pop up on the screen, just both ends beeped and hung up on their own. The energy in my room has been unsettling, like something was watching me. My sleep has been abnormal, then unusual. And when I do wake up, something pulls me back into a deep sleep. What could this be that's mocking me? And why is it trying to imitate me? I can't find anything online of what this could be. So this form is my last resort for answers. Please tell me anything you may know about this. Is it a demon or just a curious spirit? Any help is appreciated. So what do you guys think about all that? Do you think, you know, this is, I mean, listen, as I always say, if it's real to them, it's real to me. I have no reason not to believe this girl. It's a crazy, crazy story. And I definitely feel for her. Also, if you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, or questions, comments about the podcast, or anything, please give me a call at 845-600-0744. Again, that's 845-600-0744. And let me know about it, guys. You could do so anonymously if you want, or you could email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. All that stuff is always in my show notes, so please look it up. Please, if you have, you know, I'd love to hear your experiences as well. No judgment, as always, no judgment about it. And yeah, you know, maybe somebody out there could help you if they're listening to, you know, my podcast. So please do that if you'd like. And yeah, so let's get on with the awesome conclusion and part two of the April Bazette interview. She was amazing. Very, very cool, very informative. And I just love talking to her. I know I'm going to have her on my show probably a million more times, and I hope she'll agree to it. So yeah, so check it out, and here we go.
We ended off with you talking about how you were working with the police department and stuff with the missing person. That's where I went wrong.
How that actually works, I don't directly work with the police. What I do is people will contact me, the families, and I always tell them, please tell the police that you've contacted me, so I don't become an accessory or a suspect. You know, so if I'm given information, you know, I honestly, I'm actually going to be teaching a class on this at University of Madrigal's Patty Negri School. And although I honestly, please do not reach out to me for this work. I don't like doing it because I don't like delivering bad news. It's just not my forte. But a few clients have reached out to me and I help. Like I said, I always ask for a picture so I could see. And if I know they're dead, I could tell by the picture when I see it. I don't want to be the one to deliver that news. That's not my job, you know. And plus, they're grieving. I can't deal with it. It's just, it's a very, I'll fall apart too. But I was contacted by a woman and she kind of like cornered me. She followed me to an event I was at and she wanted to talk to me, show me a picture of her son. And I looked at it and I knew that he was gone. And she looked at him and she goes, I already know he's dead. So I said, all right, you know, I'm going to make up names here. I said, I do see three people that were involved. It's two men and a woman. I said, but the suspect is, I'm going to use the name John. And she goes, yes, that's the police's suspect too. So I'm still actually going back and forth with her. I told them where they can't find the body. She just wants to bury the body. I told her he was beaten to death by these people, taken into a wooded area, beaten to death. I told her, I said, it's off a known road in the woods and not too far off. So it's just that this case has been going on for a lot of years. I don't know if the police have been blowing her off. I'm not going to call them. I actually worked for the police for 15 years, but not in this aspect. I work for the chief of police, but I didn't want to be in contact with the police at all. I always want them aware that they contacted me. If anything happens, I don't want to be a suspect because I'm going to say things that might only be known to the police. But thank God. These cases have been very far away and they were private clients, nothing in the newspaper or anything. I don't want that type of publicity. It's very difficult, very negative. I did help find somebody that was alive. I've done that. So, and It's funny because I kept saying to the family, I'm like, I feel like this woman's on drugs. And I said, and she's done this before. She's disappeared before. And they lied to me. I guess they thought I wouldn't do it. And then I found out after the fact, she is on drugs and she's done this before, you know? So, yeah. And not that I would not do it. You know, that didn't mean anything. But, you know, I need validation as I'm speaking. I don't need information. I need the validation because it keeps my connection to them. So I told them, I described the man that would find this woman. And it's exactly the man who found her and brought her. But she's known for disappearing. So, but.
You said you don't really work directly with the police with that. So.
I don't want to do, because you know what happens? Then they're going to come to my house, contact me. I have to protect them.
Yeah, you'll be part of the investigation in some capacity, and you don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that. I don't want my name out there. I just don't want to be contacted, because you're going to get contacted by real people, which I understand, and then you're going to get contacted by crazy people. This puts my family in danger. So, because I've had this before, and that's why I've had a crazy person that haven't had the police trace and that's why I said I don't want my name out there that way.
So this is, I guess we could call this part two of the interview. So in the first part, you had said that my mom came through and you talked about all this stuff. And you actually mentioned that you see somebody lacing up ice skates. And then as soon as we were done, my 11-year-old walks in and says, guess what? We're going ice skating on Saturday. And I was like, wow, that was pretty nuts.
Can I tell you why that happens? Like, if I had more time, I was trying to rush myself. When I do readings, they will give me information only known to them and to let you know they're watching. So she was bringing up the ice skates. If I would have spent a little more time with her listening, she would have told me why the ice skates. But she was telling you, she's seeing, she's there, she's watching. Right. So,
and I was telling my sister about, you know, everything that you had said. And what's funny was that you would also say that she said that she's finally back to her original hair color, right? Now, that's what you said about her. But when I told my sister said, oh, my God. I said, what? She goes, I just finally dyed my hair back to my original hair color.
It's the same thing. I have to decipher what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing. And it's difficult. You basically, like I always say, I play charades with the dead every day. So. So I just taught a class on this, deciphering signs and symbols, and it is very difficult. You have to learn your symbolism that they use for you. You know, the guy, and I told the story about the police officer that I worked with, how they used his name, but they were showing me him in civilian clothing. And I was getting confused because I've never seen him out of uniform. So I'm like, why are they showing me Bruce in civilian clothing? And it was because I had to say his name. So they'll use people I know to show me them. And if it shows me them out of character, it's the name.
Okay.
So I've learned that over the years. You know, like I always, I will always see an orange when somebody's moving or some type of symbolism of or something around Florida. That's my symbol for Florida. So when I don't know what they're talking about, they'll show me things. That's why she showed me ice skates, you know, so letting me know. I would have got more into the story if I would have like asked her more questions, you know.
And they say that psychic mediums and even people that say that they, you know, just ghosts in general are like the work of the devil. Like, what do you say about that? Like, why, you know?
Well, you know, first of all, look, across, I'm very religious, blessed by my priest of my church, my husband. I'm always working on this, goes to church every Sunday. My husband makes rosary beads for sick people. He does not charge. He's spent thousands of dollars on these gemstone beads, but makes them for sick people. You know, my priest knows what I do. He does not feel that way. And I always said, don't you think Jesus was psychic? You know, he knew things. He had abilities, you know. So, but I get it. I understand. It's whatever you feel comfortable with. I never want to make, I don't talk to demonic spirits. It's only like good people, real people that have crossed over, family members, loved ones, you know. I don't have any, I mean, I've had to deal with demonic you know, entities before. It's not fun. I don't like it. I've been to, you know, I also get calls to go to haunted homes. So I get a lot of calls. So that's when I first started to, like, I was really young when people started calling me or reaching out to me to come to the homes. Hey, have you had a ghost in my house? I started that probably when I was 16.
And you help the spirits move on and stuff, or
yeah,
you try to help.
I had no idea what the hell I was doing. I just knew I could tell who was there, connect with them, and talk to them.
Yeah, you actually sound like Carl Johnson. I know we were talking about him last time. When he was talking to me about when he first went to like the Conjuring. No, he went to some kind of exorcism, and he's like, I was just thinking, like, I don't even want to be here. I want to be home in my bed. He's like, and all this stuff is going on. It was real overwhelming for him in the beginning.
But, yeah, it is. It's funny because it's not like how you think it is. You know, usually I'll tell you, when I was started doing this and I was going to houses, I just thought I was a badass. And I thought, because I would pick up before going, and I knew what was there. And I would always pick up this one entity that was not good in every location. But when I got there, I would communicate with the, like, either who was in the house, like the earthbound ones. But the entity, I would never feel it. So I always thought, oh, I'm badass. This thing left because I'm scared I was coming. No, those bastards hide from me. So, yeah. So
Have they ever told you about your own life? You know, like, you know, about yourself.
Well, I will tell you. So this involves Carl, actually. But before going to the I went to the Conjuring house. And it wasn't planned to see Carl there, but he was there. But for a few months before going to the Conjuring house, I had this entity, like, reaching out to me, knew I was going and talking to me. And it was telling me things that were going to happen to me. That were good, you know, my career and everything. So that I didn't know. It wasn't my information I was getting from this thing. It was trying to win my confidence. This thing, I knew it was bad, so I was just going to play along until I got there. When I got there, I knew it couldn't come onto the property. It was stuck on the property line, like right past it. It couldn't cross the property line. It wanted me to help it cross that. So this is another thing, shaman. So shamans can really, so this thing turned out to be, oh my God, I'm losing my train of thought. I've been doing readings all day. but this thing is, it thought I would give it permission or help it to come onto the property. So I brought Carl with me and I was telling him, and you know what's funny? The day I was there was the night before they aired the Ghost Adventures episode with Carl, and I wouldn't watch it until I left, like until I went home from the Conjuring house. And when I watched it, Zach and then were back in the area where I took Carl and told him, this is where this thing is. Oh, elemental. That's it. Elemental. It's an elemental. Elementals are bad. I don't care what anyone says. They are bad. They lie to you. It's like Rumpelstiltskin. Remember that story? They do. They lie. They'll tell you good things. They'll give you good things. But they're lying to you because he wants to gain my trust. Of course, I didn't let him onto the property. I knew he didn't belong there. Me and Carl went back. It was night. It was dark, you know. And as I'm like, I know it's here. I could feel it. And as I started walking away, Carl saw it run past and then stop and looked at Carl. But I had my back turned to him walking away. And he goes, it's here. And I turn around. And you kind of see like the shadow. A small shadow just go past. Never heard from it again. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. One of my friends went to a psychic medium a while back. And the psychic medium supposedly, you know, told her a lot of stuff and, you know, seemed to be very legit. And told her that her unborn child had come through to talk to her, to give her messages and stuff. But the child at this point was teenager. Age. Is this possible? Like, can that happen?
First of all, I know I've had people wanting to contact their, like, you know, stillborn baby. But what I'm going to tell you is these souls usually come back to the family. They do grow in heaven, but it's hard to bring them forward because they don't share any, they don't have shared memories together because the child didn't survive long enough to have a shared memory. So it's easy to do this to somebody, you know, and say, oh, well, you know, remember you rubbing their belly, what mom doesn't, you know, I'm just leery of things like that. I always say, you know what, listen, there's no shared memories, but the child goes, they go directly to heaven. Do the souls come back? I always believe they come back. Listen, I had a miscarriage. You know, I had, but I had such a connection with my daughter. I think the miscarriage I had was my daughter originally. My daughter came back to me probably for 2 years prior to getting pregnant. And I wasn't trying or anything, but I felt her. I was in contact with her. I knew what she looked like. She always reminded me of the little girl from Signs, her voice, you know. And when my daughter was born, oh my God, that doesn't look like the child. I remember when she got older and her hair grew. I'm like, oh my God, that's the little girl I was talking to the whole time. So I was always in connection with her soul prior to coming here. Now she hates me. No.
Yeah, I'm getting to that age too. You know,
she's funny still. Like, it's getting a little better, you know?
Yeah.
She hates this stuff. Everyone really asks me, but she hates this stuff. Nobody in my family has this, you know. But they say it's generational. I don't know. There was nobody in my family that did this. You know, my mom had that mom sixth sense, you know, but I don't know if I buy into that. The house we grew up was haunted. So in almost every haunted house, the reason why, you know, people could have lived there and then all these families live there, never had a problem. Then one family goes, it's usually because somebody displays mediumistic skills that were abilities that they don't know. So this activates. So when this person comes to the house, it activates the spirits because we shine a little brighter differently than normal people. So they see that, they're like, let's come out. We're coming out to play, you know? So that's what happened at our house. It was like just all hell broke loose. But my families are skeptics, but they love that my sisters and brothers support me. But my one sister is total skeptic of this, but she believes me because of what happened when we were kids.
You know, I always wanted to kind of hone the skills and try to get it, you know.
Yeah. Listen, it takes a lot of work. It doesn't happen overnight because I see these people taking a class and then just declaring the next day they're psychic medium. That's not work that way. It takes years of practice, meditation every day because you have to learn how to connect, which I like to call the sweet spot. You know? So, and listen, you don't have it. We all have it to various degrees. Like I said, you could take a painting class, but not everyone's going to be a Picasso. But the key to this, because your psychic abilities is like it's bestowed upon you. And I notice even with me, every few years, either I'm given another gift and one's taken away. So I'm always given something else, but it's not like every month or every week. This is a few years span. So it takes a few years to gain these things. It's like you have to go through these series. You have to work hard. If you want to have muscles, you have to work out. How long does that take? It takes a year's time, but you got to put the work into it. But you're almost there. Because I mean, you're seeing this already. So you're already there. There's people that are starting out with no abilities trying to get it. It's not going to happen overnight. One class is not going to make you. I teach my students, if you're going to take money for a reading and you're just saying, I have a man here, which is 50-50, man or woman, you know, you have to give the meat and potatoes. I give meat and potatoes when you have a reading with me. You're getting names, details, how they died, a message, something to validate that they see that only you would know, and they would know. Like at ice skates, because she's watching, knowing there's something about ice skating. You know what I'm saying? So you got to give them the meat and potatoes.
This is actually just an off-the-wall kind of, not off-the-wall, I guess, but I try and ask this to a lot of my guests just to see what they say. If money was no object and you could investigate, or in your case, maybe if you could talk to anybody, a celebrity or whatever, you know, who would that be?
Yeah, yeah. So,
and I know you investigate.
I always
hear
people ask this question and do it, and they never actually thought of it. I don't want to fucking use this. I want to like go back to where it all started. What is the secret of life? How do I get the lottery? How do I get the lottery?
Well, that's actually one of my other friends. I'm like, yeah, I'm talking to this psychic, you know, medium. What do you think? Oh, why can't you get lottery numbers? I said, you know how many times they've been asked that?
Listen, like I was telling you, we only get bits and pieces. It's not like we're seeing the newspaper. That's all TV BS. We're out here deciphering freaking little pictures. Like your mom coming through, showing me ice skates. You know what I'm saying? See what I got to go through? Then I'll hear a word or two. But I will tell you, like my dad, after he passed, came to me. He used to play the lottery all the time. He would make me go play the lottery for him. He came to me. I can't tell you. I must have 10 visitations of trying to give me numbers. And I could never get, like, I can get the first three and not the rest. It was like I would hear his voice saying it, or I would see it, and then it would go mute. Like, he would talk. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I can't hear you. I can't even. It's a sick joke, you know? It's like, because you can't think. Right. We were having problems with our mics before.
Yeah.
Contact the other side. It's difficult. Yeah. But I do, like, I am telling you, I get numbers in my head, but like this, like, hey, you know what? I see $2,500 coming to you, you know? And I remember telling the guy this. I said, you know, I see a check coming in for $1,500. I already got it. I said, no, this is another check. He called me. He goes, you're not going to believe this. I got another check for $1,500.
All right. Last couple of questions here. So what do you have coming up in the near future? What's going on?
I knew you were going to ask this, and I said, I got to write this down. I have so many things coming up. I know April 12th and 13th, I'm going to be in Michigan for the MetaParacon. Rock Island, I'm going to be at. I just signed all these contracts, you know, because they sent me contracts. Oh my God, so many places. But you know what, guys? You can go to my website, intuitiveapril.com. I post everything there. I do readings every day and try to maintain a normal life. And yes, I'll be a lot of places. And now I'm starting up my gallery readings again. So I will be at location. That's going to be on my website. I haven't finished signing all my contracts with the locations. So usually when I get hired to go to haunted locations, I usually do gallery readings there. They're fun, you know?
Right.
So I'm going to be doing this at, I was at the Roosevelt here in New Jersey. So I'm going to start different locations over the summer and do like traveling. I want to try and travel through the U.S. I'm trying to get that done. I have to be so many places. I need to be home for my family.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to do some crazy my gallery readings. Even when I do lectures, I throw readings out. One of my gallery readings, I brought this guy through. His name was Robert. And he's telling me his son was there. And there was a guy in front of me. And I kept looking. I knew it was him. So, and I said, he died of a heart attack, blah, blah, blah. And a bunch of other information. The guy's going, yeah, that sounds like my father. My father's name is Robert. But he did this, and then he died of a heart attack. And I said, Michelle, he worked on cars. And this guy said, nope, my dad didn't work on cars. So he didn't want to hear anything. So I went on to read other people. I come back to him. I said, listen, I know this guy is for you. I said, what did your dad do? He built cars.
What?
I said, what? I'm like, what? He goes, well, he wasn't a mechanic. He built them. I'm like, what? It's just to work on cars. Right. That's what he showed me. So I'm like, this is what I have to deal with. You know, some people.
Yeah. No, there's, I get it. I definitely get that. I'm sure you have to have. Just like I do in my job, you have to have tough skin with your job too, because I'm sure the skeptics and all this stuff, people can be.
I'll push. I'm like, I know I'm with you, you know? Right. I know, you know? So I had a woman, and like, you know, it's funny in the crowd too. And I'm like, yeah, her grandmother came through. I forgot how she died, but she's telling Melissa, but I even got her name, the lady's name, the grandmother. And she says, congratulations on your book. She almost fell to the ground. She goes, I just finished writing a book. And I just talked to a publisher that morning.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh my God, that's, yeah.
So, I mean, you said Intuitive April is your website.
IntuitiveApril.com. I'm also the creator and founder of Ghost of Magazine. Right. So we have our latest issue out. Brian Cano, Brandon Alves, Paranormal Princess is on it. It's a great magazine. So you can go to ghostmagazine.com. It's in print and digital.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much, April. I'm sorry. Like, we had all these technical issues, but I'm glad we were finally able to.
In spirit, they mess. You know this as an investigator.
It happens a lot to me here. It happened to me with Keith when I had Keith on. Before I had Keith on, I'm sitting in the exact spot, and right to the left side of me here is my glass door that leads out to the backyard.
It's your abilities. You have to learn to hone them.
Yeah, I was testing everything out and making sure everything before I talked to Keith, and something knocked on my glass door. And I'm like, you know what? It's 10 o'clock at night. That's my basement. I'm not answering that door. I know what it is. I know there's not going to be anybody standing there, or they might be. I don't want to see them. I'm just going to leave it alone. I definitely would like to at least hone it to know what I'm doing and what I'm actually looking at. And you said you do classes also?
Yeah, so I teach at University of Magicus. So you can look that up. That's Patty Negri School and Father Sebastian. And he's a vampire. The sexy vampire. But yeah, so I started out with them. I was one of the professors about a year ago. And then I just got busy. And Patty and I are good friends. She reached out to me again. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this again. So can't do it in the summer, though. I'll be traveling all over.
I'll be all over
the United States.
That's awesome. Yeah. Good luck to everything, April.
Thank you, too. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for coming on. Like I said, I didn't expect. I was like, this lady's not going to get back to me. There's no way she's going to get back
to me. I try to get back to everyone unless she's like a weirdo. But you know, it's funny because Shu had messaged me and I was just online. I was in my messages talking to my business partner, Michael, and you popped up. And I'm like, oh, he seems like a nice guy. Like, I see your name. I'm like, he seems nice. I'm going to answer him.
Well, thank you. Thank you for answering. And
that was right.
I appreciate it. So.
But, tell your dad I plan on talking to him soon.
Okay.
Reach out to me, you know, all so right. We'll talk.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. I'll let you know when the show's going to be on and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Reach out anytime. Thanks, you have my phone number.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
So thank you so much to the Psychic Housewife of New Jersey, Miss April Bazette. It was amazing talking to you. Thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you guys for listening to the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I'm probably going to be doing a reading with her as well one day. Also, you could check out all of her links again in the show notes of this episode. So please check that out. Please support her and please contact her. She's amazing. So I have a lot of great things coming up for you guys soon. Hopefully we'll have another horrible review for you soon with Edgegrave Dave and another Right Headspace with John Wright. And so check it out, and I'll talk to you guys next time. Later. Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, and thank you to all of my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, please check out our show notes for all social media links of this show and some of our friends. The Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, uncovering the unseen.